Snake Productions.
Verily all praise is due to the Almighty Lord. We praise Him, we seek His aid. We beseech forgiveness to Him. We seek refuge of Allah Ta'ala from our evil souls and our evil actions. He whom Allah Ta'ala guides is rightly guided. And he whom Allah Ta'ala misguides can never ever be guided. I bear witness without any compulsion that none has the right to be worshipped except Allah Ta'ala. And I bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his messenger, his last messenger and slave. May the peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, his companions, his family, and every single one that follows their footsteps to the last day. A great scholar mentioned that the age span that man has been allotted, that man has been given, is passing away very, very quickly. Like the melting away of ice. If it is expended, wasted in the wrong pursuits, it will be indeed a sheer loss for man. Know, dear creatures, that this planet has seen hundreds of nations in the past rising slowly towards eminence, consolidating their powers, their strength, slowly, and then degenerating and falling into oblivion, utterly forgotten. How many nations have reached their climax and then vanished without a trace? Dozens and dozens of civilizations saw the light of day, and after touching the summit of success and fame, vanished without a trace, decayed, and were annihilated, utterly destroyed. Creatures, billions and billions of people, of humans, of jinn, were born into this world, walked on this earth, and after passing the stages of adolescence, youth, old age, return back to their mother, return back to dust. Why does not man consider his origin? But what way we came into this world? From what helpless state we began our life on this world? Have we not acknowledged the glorious book of the Almighty Lord, the uncreated word? مُن نُطْفَةٍ خَلَقَهُ فَقَدَّرَ سُبْحَانَ الَّذِي خَلَقَنَا. We were created, the creatures, from a small drop of sperm. This is our origin. A drop of sperm. It is so small that you can only see this sperm through a microscope. Yet man is boastful. Yet man is arrogant. Yet man is full of pride. We are nothing, dear creatures, but the slaves of the one that gave us life. Without our permission or choice, you did not come into this life because you decided to. You did not come into this life because you wanted to. You had no choice. It was His choice, His will. Thus, you came onto this world. We are the slaves of the one that will cause us to die. Likewise, without our permission or choice, you will not choose when you die, or how you will die, or when you will die. You will die when He wills. There's organizations of the Western civilization, the right to die organizations. Wallahi, it is Allah who wills them to die when He wants them to die. Without no choice, no say at all over when their death is going to appear. Soon our bodies the bones that we are carrying will be bared of its flesh. The veins, the intestines will disintegrate. And the bones, the limbs, the body, the flesh that you are carrying, brothers and sisters, will become, wallahi, a handful of dust under a pile of dirt. This is man. This is what we are. No other. And this is not long. Soon this is going to happen. Open your eyes. Reflect. Look at the surrounding. Look at the world. Look at the calamities, the catastrophes, the afflictions. Open your eyes, dear creatures, and know that the majority of the minor signs have appeared. Sudden death being common. The wishing for death because of the severities of trials. The increase of killing. Many earthquakes. The killing of the Jews or the fighting of the Jews. Hatred amongst people's hearts. The passing away of the pious. Time flying, passing quickly. You cannot even see it these days. Disappearance of trustworthiness. Disappearance of knowledge. And the prevalence of ignorance. Building lofty tall buildings. Spirit of riba. Spirit of zina. Spirit of musical instruments. And it's thought of being allowed. Spread of intoxicants, whether drugs or alcohol. The appearance of women in clothes that do not cover them. The large number of women and the small number of men. Men imitating ladies and ladies imitating men. These are all signs of the hour. And wallahi, this is all exposed in our day. Nothing but the major signs left. And one of them comes, they all follow. Thus, our bodies will be bared of its flesh. And then we will return back to our mother, which is the earth. Yes, this world is a world of cause and effect. And we are all of us, are bound to be influenced by its external features. Because we all see that prosperity, comfort, reputation, honor is due to what? To wealth and worldly resources. So when we see that this is the way we're going to get to it, we involuntarily rush in trying to grab these worldly resources. So much so that we forget to distinguish between halal and haram, haram and halal, legal and illegal, forbidden and approved, right and wrong. We become so obsessed with the material aspect that we lose vision, sight of the more important things of this life, of the reason why we were created, which is to worship the Almighty Lord. To worship Allah Ta'ala. Have we not admonished, dear creatures, the great surah in the Quran? Allah Ta'ala warns us, teaches us, advises us. A great surah by the name of At-Takathur, which refers to that which we are saying. Surah At-Takathur, بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. ألهاكم التكاثر. ألهاكم التكاثر. The mutual rivalry for piling up of worldly things diverts you. Makes you heedless of the more important things. The piling up, piling up, piling up, piling up. Diverts you from the path of Allah Ta'ala. Makes you heedless, forget the hereafter. Those who take delight and indulge in the rivalry for children, for wealth, for assets, status and fame, and every other pleasure that depart you from the Almighty Lord. Allah Ta'ala says to us here, the life of the world. He's warning us. He's admonishing us. He's teaching us. Be careful, O slave. You were not created for that reason. You were not created to worship the world. You were created to worship me and none other. Do not let this piling of worldly things divert you from me. This is the meaning of the surah. He's warning us. O slave, do not let the world, money, assets, wealth, fame, status, children, do not let it. It is only a test. Do not let it affect you and divert you from you worshipping me. The life of this world, he says, occupies your time so much with its pleasures and beauty, glitter, adornment, that it gives you no time of the more important things. And you stay in pursuit of these things until you die. Muhammad ibn Ismail al-Bukhari narrated the hadith of Abdul Rahman ibn Sakhar, Abu Huraira radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to all his nation, if the son of Adam had two valleys of wealth, full of wealth, two valleys, he would long for a third one. And nothing fills the belly of the son of Adam except earth. In other words, except death. And he will keep longing and longing. He's got one valley of gold. No, it's not enough. I want another valley. Two, three, four, five, and so on. Man is greedy. By nature, he's greedy. He never says, Alhamdulillah, that's enough. No. The more he has, the more he wants. The more he gets, the more he desires. Muslim ibn Hijjaj, rahimahullah ta'ala, in his Sahih, narrates the hadith of Abdullah ibn Shujair on the authority of his father, radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, that he was sitting with Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, as he's reciting, Al-Hakum ut-Takati, the piling of worldly things divert you. The son of Adam says, my wolf. But one more, he says. What can he benefit with his wolf more than that which he eats, that which he wears, and that which he gives charity? What else are you going to use your wolf for? There's no other reason for your wealth. Say if you've got $1 billion or $1, this person with the $1 might be more content than the person with the $1 billion. This person will be scared. This person's content, he's got nothing to lose. Eating, sleeping, drinking, alhamdulillah. This person is trying to make another billion. Al-Hakum al-Takathur. The mutual rivalry of piling up of worldly things diverts you from the path of the Almighty Lord. Sufyan al-Thawri, rahimahullah ta'ala, said, man's love of this life is shown in the way he greets people. A very, very important statement. Man's life for the love of this world is shown in the way he greets people. Example. What he means. You see a person who's poor peasant, lives a life of poverty, but he loves Allah Ta'ala. He loves Allah Ta'ala. This person, the majority of people do not want to sit with him, do not want to greet him, do not want to accompany him, do not want to even know about him. They consider him as filth. Yet in the sight of Allah, inna akramakum inda Allahi atqakum. This person could be the highest status in the sight of Allah Ta'ala. They're so scared of meeting this person due to their fear of him passing poverty to them. The other side, a rich person
nice suit, tie, cleanly shaven, owns a couple houses in Africa, in Lebanon, in Syria, a couple on the huge mountain on top where you can see the whole world. He has a couple of aeroplanes, beautiful tie and suit. Towards him, the people are hell. If he enters a room, what's that coming? They'll stand up for him. Big smiling faces. Stand up straight away. Big smiling faces. And they'll compete against each other to greet him and shake his hand. And yet, this person does not know what prayer means. And he, in the sight of Allah Ta'ala, might not be worth the wind of a mosquito. Yet people elevate him. Just like a person coming for the hand of a girl in marriage to a lot of parents. Disease. It's a disease. Wallahi, a disease. When you go and seek a lady's hand, the first thing they look at, the majority. Oh, is he a doctor? Is he a professor? Has he got a business? Does he own his own place? If yes, al-ra's wal-ayn. On my head I'll put you. Oh, he's only a sheikh. He's got nothing, you know, he does his teach, or he does his this, just prostrate day and night. That's his life. She's too young. She's too young. Not ready. She hasn't finished her university degree. The other one, they'll take her out of sixth class and marry her off. Whoa, he's going to become rich out of it. You know, can't wait. It's a disease. A disease. A disease, wallahi, an epidemic. This is the reality that we are living in. Al-haakumu at-takathur. The mutual rivalry of piling up of worldly things, that's all they're concerned about. Yahya ibn Mu'adh, radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, said, oh, how poor is man? How poor is man? If his fear for hellfire was as strong or at a degree as his fear of poverty, he would enter paradise. Our great predecessor mentioned that beware of the life of this world, for indeed its magic is more effective than that of Harut wa Marut. For indeed the two latter, Harut wa Marut, separate a man from his wife, while the love or the magic of this world separates the man from his Rabb. A poet said, seek nothing in this world except contentment. Except contentment. Say Alhamdulillah. Seek nothing from this world except contentment. For in there, therein is the comfort and bliss for the body. Then he says, consider a man who possesses the whole world, the whole earth, and all that it contains. Can he take in his grave with him more than a shroud and cotton? Can he take into his grave with him more than a shroud and cotton? SubhanAllah, what a beautiful saying. This is a reality, no matter how much you possess. That's all you're taking with you in that grave, your real home. Nothing but a shroud and cotton. That's all you're taking with you. And those that have that much money, like the whole world, it's hard for them to die. They don't want to die. And that they're on their deathbeds, all they're worried about is their money. They're thinking, oh, I'm going to leave this behind me. Amr ibn Abdullah, when he used to go stand on the pulpit on the minbar, used to say, many of people saw the day, the beginning of it, but did not live to the end of it. Many expected to see morning, but they slept and died. Young, old, no age limit. If only man knew, he says, their appointed time and how they will come to pass away from this world, he would have detested his material life, or loving, or nursing the love of the material life, and went back to his Creator. Because if we knew when we are going to die, we will think of nothing but to increase our love towards Allah and our obedience towards Allah. But because man is heedless, the shaitan works and works and works. He makes him forget about the one that created him. An episode of Akin. A lot of brothers have heard this story before, but it's a very nice story. Akin wants to make a tour of his kingdom. Akin's got a huge kingdom. A huge kingdom. So huge, he has to ride to get to the end of it. So this king ordered for his dress to be brought to him. They brought him the first dress, the second dress, the third dress. No, 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 it's not good enough. It's not made out of gold or silver or pearls. I want the best. And at the end, they brought him a dress that there was no other. He had to accept it. He wore it. Bring me a horse. The first horse, the second horse, the third horse, the fourth, the fifth. The last horse he chose only because he had to choose. It wasn't good enough for him. In his shaitan, the accursed filled his mind with vanity. He mounted the horse in an ostentatious way, very sort of boastful way, manner. Started riding his horse, his infantry, his army, followed him, but out of pride and arrogance, did not even look at him. This man's thinking of himself that he's the only one that's walking on earth, no other. As he's traveling on his horse, his army's behind him, a distressed person rides past him, dressed in rags. A peasant, poor person, looking person. He salutes the king. Salaam alayka ya malak. The king looks at him. Who are you to salute me? You, with rags, distressed looking, you're saluting me, the king? He raises his head and turns it away. The person again, Salaam alayka ya malak. The king turns away. The peasant, the poor, distressed looking person, grabs the bridle of the horse and pulls it towards him. Salaam alayka ya malak. He rebukes him, the malik, the king. He rebukes him and commands him to leave the reins of the horse. Whereby the peasant says, I have business with you. I have business with you. It's not a matter of worldly business. It's a heavenly business here. He's not going to ask him how much I'm going to earn if I clean your farm. It is a heavenly business. The king said, wait till I get off the horse. No, now I'm going to have business with you. There's no time for you to go off your horse and I'll go off my horse. It's time. Now my business is between me and you. He grabbed him close to him and said, I am the angel of death. I have come to commend your soul to the Almighty Lord. The king, mumbling, stammering, his face turned pale. Let me go home, let me go home. Settle my affairs, see my members of the family. No. He entered his hand into his body and extracted the soul at that very point. The king fell died. Inshallah, boastful, arrogant king. Did he take anything with him? The same distressed person went past another man, a pious man. Salaam alayka ya fulan. Wa alayka salam wa rahmatullahu wa barakatuh. The man said to him, Tafaddal, have your way. He was on a horse traveling to his destination. He said, can I have a word with you? You sure may have words. Ahlan wa marhaban. He brought him close to him and said, I am the angel of death. Ahlan wa sahlan. Where have you been all my life? I've been waiting for you all my life. The angel of death said to him, do you want to continue your travel, your journey? He goes, no travel is as good as traveling to the Lord. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is my travel. You have cured me from the suffering of this world. He goes, is there any way you would like to die? You would like to meet your Lord? He goes, are you able to do this? He goes, yes, I have been commanded to do this. He goes, allow me to perform wudu, ablution, initiate prayer, and when I am in prostration, take my soul. So he did. He performed wudu, prostrated to the Almighty Lord, and then the soul was extracted. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Yeah. If you look at these two examples, you know, which one would you like to be in? Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Al-haakum al-takathur. The mutual rivalry of piling up of worldly things diverts you from the path of the Almighty Lord. Passions for piling up and more and more and more makes people heedless of the things that are more important. They make him heedless of the Almighty Lord, Allah Ta'ala, of the Akhirah, the hereafter, and the very reason for your creation, which is to worship Allah Ta'ala. They only concern themselves in raising their standards of living, acquiring money, no matter how they acquire it, whether it's halal, haram. They just want more wealth and more wealth and more wealth so they can increase their physical enjoyment and their comfort in the life of this world. But until when? Until when is man gonna pull that money up? Allah Ta'ala will answer this question. Allah Ta'ala has answered this question to all of us. Al-haakum al-takathur hatta zurtumul maqabir. There's the answer. Hatta zurtumul maqabir. Until you visit the graves. And the visit means he? Death. Death. Until you die. In other words, your whole life has been wasted in the same craze and endeavor piling up until the day has come where you must die and there is no escape. You cannot pile up no more. You cannot pile up no more. Wallahi, if this person, the wise person, will pile up in this life, yes, but pile up what? Deeds. إِنَّ خَيْرِ الْأَمُورِ فِي الْأَخْرَةِ التَّقْوَى فِي الدُّنْيَا. The best provision of the hereafter is what? Righteousness, piety. Death, dear creatures, the indisputable fact. No one has ever doubted death. And we know that human beings rarely agree on anything. But the whole humanity have never ever disagreed on their mortality. Never. Everyone, whether they said so or not, acknowledge the great verse of Allah Ta'ala, كُلُّ نَفْسٍ ذَائِكَةُ الْمَوْتِ. Every soul shall taste death. وَإِنَّمَا تُوَفَّوْنَ أُجُورَكُمْ يَوْمَ الْكِيَامَةِ فَمَنْ زُحْزِحَ عَنِ النَّارِ وَأُدْخِلَ الْجَنَّةَ فَقَدْ فَازْ وَمَا الْحَيَاةُ الدُّنْيَا إِلَّا مَتَاعُ الْغُرُورِ. Every soul shall taste death. And only on the day of resurrection shall you be paid your wages in full. For he who is removed just by a little bit from removed from hellfire, وَأُدْخِلَ الْجَنَّةِ and admitted into paradise, فَقَدْ فَاسْ. And he is indeed the successful one. وَمَا الْحَيَاةُ الدُّنْيَا إِلَّا مَتَاعُ الْغُرُورِ. And the life of this world is nothing but an enjoyment of deception, deceiving. This is the life of this world. Friends, family, relatives, power, money, prestige, strong, huge buildings, progress of science, development, technology, advancement, all of this will not in any way avail the dying person. It would not avail the dying person. When death comes, there is no, absolutely no runaway.
أينما تكونوا يدرككم الموت ولو كنتم في بروج مشيدة. Wherever you may be, Allah says,
death will overtake you, even if you were in fortresses, buildings built strong and high.
You cannot hide.
But the believing person, when death comes to him, if he's a Muslim, he's got no problem. He's got no problem. He's not scared of death. A believer is not scared to die. Why? وَلَا تَمُوتُنَّ إِلَّا وَأَنْتُمْ مُسْلِمُونَ. Though I'm not only in the state of Islam, so if I'm a Muslim, why get scared of death? If it's tonight, if it's now, if it's tomorrow, why get scared? If you are a Muslim, you are not scared of death. A Muslim never, ever fears death. But this Muslim must be a Muslim in faith, in behavior, in secret and public, with others and to his own self, at ease and at hardship. He must be a Muslim every day, every week, every month, every year of his whole life. That's when the angel comes to you. You will be in a state of bliss and delight, better than any bliss or delight that this whole world and all it contains can ever, ever offer to you. It will place you in a nice perfume silk material and then bear you up to the heavens, and we now all know the story. And the angels will say, what is this beautiful smell? This beautiful soul, who is it? And the angel carrying the soul will say, it is so-and-so, the son of so-and-so, naming him by the most beautiful names. And they'll keep asking questions until the angels of mercy say, leave him alone. He has just come from the suffering of the world. Let him relax. This is the believing person. حَتَّى زُرْتُمُ الْمَقَابِرَ, until you visit the graves, until you die. كَلَّا سَوْفَ تَعْلَمُونَ, كَلَّا سَوْفَ تَعْلَمُونَ, and then you will come to know. Come to know what? The piling of worldly things until you die, then you will come to know. Come to know what? How that grave is nice looking, ugly looking, it's got a nice blanket in it. Come to know what? Those that piled up the world, they will come to know the evil of that material that diverted them from the path of Allah, the evil end of it. And they will realize the stupendous error that they were in throughout the whole life of them piling up worldly things. And again Allah says, the same wording, the same note, the same firm and terrorizing rhythm. ثُمَّ كَلَّ سَوْفَ تَعْلَمُونَ. And again, indeed, you shall know. كَلَّا لَوْ تَعْلَمُونَ عِلْمَ الْيَقِينَ. And if only you knew the knowledge of the... If only you knew of sure knowledge, the end result of piling up worldly materials, you would never ever have occupied yourself with it. لَتَرَوُنَّ الْجَحِيمِ, you will see the blazing fire. ثُمَّ لَتَرَوُنَّهَا عَيْنَ الْيَقِينِ, and then again you shall see the blazing fire. ثُمَّ لَتُسْأَلُنَّ يَوْمَئِذٍ عَنِ النَّعِيمِ, and you will be asked on that day, the day after Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revives you and you come out of your graves, Allah will ask you about every single blessing that He bestowed upon you in the life of this world. Every blessing. You'll be asked, where did you get it from? How did you get it? And how did you spend it? Every single bliss, every single blessing, grace that Allah has given you, you will be questioned about. And if you want to count the blessings, can you count the blessings? وَإِن تَعُدُّوا نِعْمَةَ اللَّهِ لَا تُحْصُوهَا. If you try to calculate or count the blessings of Allah Ta'ala, you will never be able to calculate it. Never. No matter how much you try, you can never calculate Allah's bounties upon you. Never. إِنَّ السَّمْعَ وَالْبَصَرَ وَالْفُؤَادَ كُلُّ أُولَٰئِكَ كَانَ عَنْهُ مَسْؤُولًا. the hearing, the seeing, the heart, all of this will be inquired into. And I was questioned. On the day of resurrection, your hands will be talking on your behalf. It's a blessing. Your hands are blessing. Blessing of feeling. Your eyes will be talking on your behalf. Your ears, your face, your tongue, your feet, and every other body part of your body will be talking on your behalf, because they are all blessing and they will be questioned, and you have no ability to take control on that day. Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came out of his house in a hadith collected by Muslim ibn Hijjaj and witnessed Abu Bakr and Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhuma outside. He said to him, "What brings you out this time of the night? What makes you? What are you doing outside?" They said to him a beautiful say, "O Messenger of Allah, hunger brings us out at this time. Hunger. Subhanallah di khalaqana." They used to tie a rock around their waist due to hunger. Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the best creature that walked the earth, he used to tie a rock around his waist due to hunger. Do we tie a rock around our waist? Or do we have to have 3 meals a day with either chicken or meat or whatever on that plate, and we're still not content? We have to wear the best clothes, we're still not content. He used to tie a rock around his waist due to hunger. As Aisha once mentioned, one whole month they would not see food in their house except dates and water. One whole month. Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu, Umar ibn Khattab, Abu Bakr al-Siddiq, al-Faruq, likewise tied rocks around their waist due to hunger. The two strongest, greatest men after Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and after the prophets. They said, "O hunger, O Messenger of Allah." He said, "By the one in whom his hand is my soul, this is the only reason that I have left my house." Allahu Akbar. He goes, "Come with me." Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Abu Bakr, Umar, all in a state of hunger. They went to a man from the Ansar. When he reached the house, they did not find that man there. His wife, the man's wife, noticed it was Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, said, "Welcome, O Prophet of Allah." He said, "Where is so-and-so?" She said, "He's went out to fetch some water for us." Meanwhile, the man came. He goes, "Alhamdulillah, there is no one more superior to me today as regards his guests." Straight away, he went and bought for them, without even asking, a bunch of dates, got the knife and slaughtered the sheep for them. It was a tradition, and still is a tradition, in Arabia, that when a visitor comes, they slaughter a sheep for you. Whether they got one sheep or half a sheep, they'll slaughter it for you. Whether they're in poverty or not, they'll slaughter it for you. That's how hospitable they are regarding their visitors. So he placed it in front of them, and they ate, they drank until they were full. Then Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam looked at Abu Bakr and Umar and said, "By him in his hand is my soul. Wallahi, you will be asked about this treat that you had right now. The blessing, it's a blessing. ثُمَّ لَتُسْأَلُونَّ عَنِ النَّعِيمِ يَوْمَ إِذَ عَنِ النَّعِيمِ." Blessing, food is a blessing. You'll be asked about the blessing. Every mouth, every drink that you drink or eat, you will be asked about. Wallahi, you will be asked and questioned about. If you look around us regarding the blessings in Australia, you know, we are living here in such, subhanAllah, such ease. We are taking it for granted. We take life for granted. We've got everything here. There's nothing. There's no shortcoming regarding the lifestyle. Not at all. You got food in front of you. You got drink in front of you. You got clothes in front of you. You got money in front of you, whether you work or not. But you will still find incredible, shocking, absolutely shocking behavior from the Muslims. How many Muslims came from overseas? Came poor, as poor people. Allah gave them money, enriched them. How many people came hungry? Allah gave them food. How many people came frightened? Allah gave them peace. How many people came as refugees? Allah granted them asylum. How many people came without any clothes? Allah clothed them. Did they reply to these blessings with thankfulness, with gratitude? A lot of them used to pray after these blessings came to them. They used to pray, they stopped prayer. They used to fast, they stopped fast. They used to memorize and read the Quran. Now no, they memorize and read the TV guide and Cosmopolitan or Clio or Vogue or any other ballot. They used to give charity, zakat, in their countries. Now it's an obligated duty on them every year. Now they say, no, we don't need to give charity anymore. The tax taken by the government is our zakat. It's the same from a lot of Muslims. They used to, when they got sick, rage, stretch out their arms, oh Allah, please cure me. Now when they get sick, oh Allah, please increase my sickness. I'll get compo out of it. This is the reality. And I'm pretty sure every single one of us has heard this. You know, when he gets injured at work, oh, that's why I got injured. Wish it was a broken such and such. A'udhu billah. A'udhu billah. A'udhu billah. A lot of them are ladies. They came here veiled, beautifully veiled from head to toe. You can't see anything except her face and hands. Alhamdulillah. Slowly, after being intermingling with the West, took that veil off. Slowly, slowly, slowly. So short the veil became that you don't have to marry her to see what she looks like. And this is the reality of a lot of Muslim families. وَلَا حَوْلَ وَلَا قُوَّةَ إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ. And it's sad to see a lot of fathers, mothers, after Allah blessing him with so many blessings after coming to this country or anywhere in the West, all you see these parents is just working, working, working. Where is this person? At work. When is he coming home? He won't come home. He's going to come home late. Whenever you ask about him, he's at work. At work. At work. At work. Tayyib, where's Islam? From home to work. From work to home. Where's your children? The only time he'll go to the mosque is when? Is when? For his coffin. When he's going to be prayed on and not him praying. وَلَا حَوْلَ وَلَا قُوَّةَ إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ. أَكُولُ مَا تَسْمَعُونَ وَآخَرُ دَعْوَانَا الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ.